Sure.
Hi, everyone. This is Michael from Dismantling Disabilities, and with me online is Jens Ribo from Tune Foolery, and I'm privileged to talk with him. I believe he's a counselor, and he's a good person to connect with. So he's going to share with us about Tune Foolery and his relationship to it. So, Jens?
Yep.
So, I did send you some questions, and if you just want to take off and maybe just talking about yourself a little bit and your relationship to the disabled community.
Yes. I'm originally from Sweden, yes. And I moved to United States about 20 years ago because I had a career as a musician back there, but as most people know, that's a hard one to make a living out of. So I thought I should grow up and get a real job. So I started studying psychology with the idea to become, psychologist or mental health counselor or social worker or something.
Sure.
During my studies, I moved to the United States and continued to go to school here. And at my first internship ever, I was lucky to end up in a drop-in center for adults with psychiatric conditions called the Cambridge Somerville Social Club. And they had just started a program there called Tune Foolery.
Okay.
Which I started, I have just left my music career behind and starting my mental health career. And there was this program who combined mental health with music. So,
wow.
So I was thrilled. The director of the program, Teresa Thompson, was my supervisor, and she kind of guided me through my first years there. So I helped out with a lot of different projects in Tune Foolery. But when she moved to California in 2000, I took over the directorship. So that has really been my my big passion for many, many years. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, and I think I've been very lucky to come in contact with a lot of people that do tremendous work throughout the whole disability community, including you, Michael. And it just feels like there is a movement out there of people that really want to kind of challenge the pessimism and the negativity and the kind of glass half empty attitude that you see so much in people that struggling with different disabilities. So to me, it's been a pure joy to work with Tune Foolery and really focus on recovery, on healing, on possibilities through music, and kind of see how much you can, when people bring joy and purpose and community to their life, amazing things can happen.
Now, you're speaking about with music. I see that you play the guitar, bass, and harmonica.
Yes.
And I believe what I read on the blog on your site is that, or Tune Foolery site rather, is that you provide background vocals or background music at times?
Yes.
How often do you get to do that?
Yeah, so I'm the only kind of employed staff person in Tune Foolery. So that means I do everything from grant writing and, cleaning dishes to playing music. And of course, the playing music part is what I enjoy the most. So when there are musicians in Tune Foolery that could use a backup or where I kind of fit in, that's when I'm kind of stepping in and have a role. So, for example, I started out playing punk rock in Sweden in the 80s.
Yeah.
And thanks to Tune Foolery, I ended up playing classical guitar. I'm part of a trio that play early Irish music, so meaning kind of from the 1600s.
Wow.
Which was something I never imagined that I would be A, able to do, and B, interested in doing. So
going from punk rock to classical, that is a leap, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So that's been really part of, I think, my musical interest have really been broadened thanks to Tomfoolery and thanks to learning from the incredible musicians in Tomfoolery, who I believe many of them would have had wonderful musical careers unless they've been hit with with the mental health issues.
Right. You know, I like what you said about how Tomfoolery opened up your horizons, and how true that is, that if we just step back from the disability and look at the person first, how much we can really appreciate, value, how we can grow as individuals, like you yourself did, and specifically at least from going from punk rock to classical.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that you are the only staff member, paid staff.
Yeah, I'm only kind of employed. What we have is we have, actually now we have five of our members that also do different tasks, but I'm the only one who kind of receive a salary.
So you're like the chief cook and bottle washer there, huh?
Kind of like that, yes.
So, with that being said, you are probably, and this might be a good time to let people know, first of all, I want to let people know your website. It's www.tunefoolery.org.
Correct.
And this is going down a little rabbit trail, but you just sent me out a newsletter. Now, can people get that newsletter by going to tunefoolery.org?
Yes, there is a little. We just actually started this newsletter, something we are very excited and proud of. And there is a little form on the left side of the website that if you want to subscribe to our newsletter, you just fill out the name and or your email address, and you will start receiving that on a monthly basis.
That is great, and I want to tell you I appreciate getting that. Now, what I've been to your site, looked around, and I've seen things that you need. And if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I see is generally material things. But do you need any more volunteers, or are you set up to handle that, or?
Well, as you can figure out, since that we are a small organization, so it depends, it depends a little about what the skills the volunteers have. So we don't have a program, so to say, where we open at 10 o'clock on Monday and we open all day, because most of what we do is kind of that we do gigs. We go out and we have our 50
yes.
musicians performing all over New England, really. So if people have specific skills, we can always use people who have computer skills or fundraising skills, but maybe most important what we need is more gigs. So, if anybody is either, and that can be both in the mental health field or not. So if anybody, have a connection to a place that could use music, and we have everything from classical to rock and holiday music and everything. We love to send our musicians out because that is really what we are about, to bring music and joy and hope and a positive message, especially out to communities that don't get much of quality music.
Well, we really appreciate the times when Tomfoolery came up to where I work at Arborview.
Yes.
I can't speak highly enough of people like Dan and Lenny. Those two gentlemen stick in my mind. We had a
yes.
lady come up, and wonderful singer, unbelievable.
Yes.
And I think what I really like like the most, aside from the quality of their musicianship, is their soul that they put into it. Mm-hmm. They just weren't mm-hmm. kind of doing songs. They were, you know, they were putting their feelings.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned about your need to have more gigs. Again, if people wanted to contact you, mm-hmm. there's a contact site on your website, right?
Yes, exactly. So that's, you can contact us through our website, and that's either calling us or emailing us or whatever. We're keeping an eye on that. So it's not hard to get in touch with us.
Now, I'm looking here on your site. You have a next gig on the 5th of April, Tunefoolery's Coffee House with open mic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if people come to that, can they get more information on Tunefoolery, or is it more like a social time to listen, to enjoy the music? Or do you have actual literature there to help people to know more about Tunefoolery?
Yeah, you can always talk to, because the coffee house is really, we are located, let me back up a second. As I said, when we started, we were in this drop-in center called Cambridge Somerville Social Club, which unfortunately closed down because of budget cuts in December of 2008.
Okay.
We were lucky because we have funding from other sources than just from state sources. We were lucky to continue, and we are now in a building in downtown Boston that is managed and owned by the Department of Mental Health.
Ooh, okay.
So we are, we're surrounded. In our building, there is hospital unit, there's administration, there are peer programs and a little of everything. So the coffee house was an idea to once a month really, you know, support the community of our building to come together and you know, we have some musicians, obviously, but also there might be other talented people within the community. And it's also open for the public, so anyone can walk in here and just enjoy the music. And if they do, they can talk to anybody, you know, here if they want to learn more about Tunefoolery.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Now, let's say there's someone out there listening that has a heart like yours to want to start something like Tunefoolery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's an art program or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, I see that you have a lot of sponsors. I was really impressed with that. Now, what would you say to them if they wanted to start something like this? How did you get your sponsors to back up the good work that you're doing?
Yeah,
how did it come about?
It's almost 20 years of hard work in there, but I think one idea is to really tune into. The funny thing with sponsors is that you have to start, I think, with being clear. What is your mission? What do you want? What do you want to accomplish? And why are your organization needed, so to say, which
yes.
is, you know, like if you start a nonprofit organization, those are questions you have to answer. And when you have that, I think it's really kind of believing in that you as an organization or a community can make a difference and look at what are the people that are supporting, you know, positive changes, anything from government and state funding down to foundations or organizations. We've been very lucky to connecting with certain organizations or foundations that really believe in what we're doing and see that we make a change, that we really have an impact both in the lives of both our musicians but also at our audiences. Like you were saying before, you know, hopefully when Tunefoolery goes out and play, that it's a win-win situation, that the audience is really enjoying it. So I think it's a lot of research, it's a lot of networking, and you know, talking, you know, what we learn from is to really go to people who do fundraising, who know about these things. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are people who have a lot of knowledge, and they can, you know, I feel like usually when you ask about what people are doing and their knowledge and you take them out for lunch or something, they're happy to share what they have. I have met with a lot of people over the years to kind of give ideas about things that, that they can benefit from the knowledge that we have, you know, contained over the years.
Fantastic. You know, so you said it was, I think you said it was about like 20 years in the making to get these sponsors. So it was a lot of, you know, blood, sweat, and tears then, probably. A lot of grunt work to probably get to that point.
I mean, yeah, and sometimes it's luck. We have this amazing story that a friend of mine who is a musician and who's also a big supporter of Toonfoolery, she was at her... her daughter was playing soccer, and she was standing on the sideline chatting with another soccer mom. And I don't know how this happened, but they started talking about Toonfoolery. And this woman said, "Oh, that sounds very interesting. I am actually, you know, me and my family have a family foundation, and we are, you know, interested in supporting certain things." So they contacted us.
Wow, that is great.
And they have been funding us for several years now. So sometimes it's just pure luck, I guess. But I think, again, if you know what you want and what you believe in and you're consistent about that and try to get the message out, then, yeah, it seems to – I believe that you can make it work somehow.
So I hear that the for people who want to follow in similar footsteps that Toonfoolery has done, then it would be important to really – get their mission statement crystallized so people know just what in the world they're going to be doing.
Yes, yeah. And I think it's important when we actually had very interesting, you know, when Toonfoolery started, obviously I wasn't part of that, but about a year and a half ago, we sat down and looked at our mission statement and we felt that there was little... It got a little old, or we kind of tweak it a little bit. And also the language, as right. Most of the people who listen to this has really changed, you know. What do we call people who have psychiatric conditions, you know? So we had this amazing discussion within our community. And, for example, one thing was about the whole concept of psychiatric disability or psychiatric conditions. And some people say, you know, I have sometimes felt really disabled by this. So to call it just a condition doesn't seem fair to me. And other people felt, I don't feel disabled, so I don't want to be called disabled. So now in our mission statement, we say that we are, I should read it here. I have it next to me.
Okay, great.
It says that... the mission of Toonfoolery is to use music and community building to provide individuals with psychiatric disabilities or conditions with opportunities for hope, healing, empowerment, employment, self-reliance, and socializing. So again, I think it's something about sitting down and defining, you know, who you are and what you want to do and why that matters.
Wow. Another question I wanted to ask you is that this mission statement, this message, how much of an impact do you think you have made since you since Toonfoolery began? Mm-hmm. I know this kind of can be like a nebulous question or just a, you know, get your mind around, but did you see any changes in society that you've been connecting with,
mm-hmm.
in looking at people with disabilities?
Yeah, I mean, it's neat because, like I said, I've been in this field for almost 20 years, so you have a little perspective when you do that. And I think there are two ways that comes up to me when you ask me that. And one is that I have seen for a lot of our musicians in Toonfoolery what it means to be part of a community that focus on people's strengths.
Okay.
We have had, you know, a few people who really struggled in their lives when they joined Toonfoolery. They obviously, you know, everybody has been musician at some point in their life, but a lot of people kind of gave up music, and then they have found us, and they start playing again. And wow. we have an example of one person who totally quit playing, and she was in a date treatment. She had kind of left her musical career behind, and she got involved in tomfoolery, starting doing gigs, starting being involved in the community, eventually started teaching on her instrument, and even went to school for composing. So it's really neat to see that someone who kind of given up on music now is really having music be a core thing of their lives. And the other thing that I see is that people that used to come and audition for tomfoolery, I should say about 15 years ago, I felt like there was so much more disempowered. They have been told so much that their lives were basically over, and they have a diagnosis of schizophrenia, bipolar, and they were told, you know, to simplify that if you just take your medication and stay out of trouble, you know, that's all you need to focus on.
Wow.
And I see the people that come contact with us these days who are younger, they have much more hope and dreams and expectations of their lives. And to me, that is a really, really positive thing that I think this, despite all the struggles and in our field, there is something about it that we, that I think everybody in the field, despite, you know, do a better job of empowering people these days.
That is so good to hear. I know that I have the opportunity to read a lot of stories on recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just go off on a slight rabbit trail. Is my video coming up to you?
No, I don't see a picture of you.
Let me try this, okay? Hopefully I don't cut off, but let me just try this. Okay, there.
Let me see.
I just,
there you are, yes.
I just noticed a little X through my camera. I'm thinking, X, why can't he see myself? Anyway, yeah. Here I am. But I've had an opportunity to read recovery stories, and I remember one story. His name is Mr. Geek. He has... Mm-hmm. He has delusions. He has schizophrenia, and yet it talks about how he uses these his delusions to empower himself realistically.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I read them, think, you know, that is so that is really empowering to realize that a weakness can become a strength if we know how to harness it, if we accept it, if we kind of, you know, roll with that. And so I really am grateful to hear what you're saying. I've noticed here too that tomfoolery has an educational outreach.
Yes.
Now is I'm reading here like you communicate the message of hope. When you go into schools, is it yourself and then other people from tomfoolery that go in and share their story and
yes.
ask questions? That has to be great. Now, when you, I'm assuming there's going to be a wide difference between like talking to little children versus maybe seniors in high school. Is there a big difference in?
Yeah, no, we had some pretty amazing experiences over the years. We've been doing everything from kindergarten after school program all the way up to college students, and I think with little kids, we would really try to just to introduce the whole concept of what is mental health and,
right. And
you know, it's very light version in a way. But what we try to do, no matter what the age is really to give a message of hope. So, you know, our members are very courageous to share stories about their own personal lives. And they and people are really interested in hearing, because they might, you know, last year we went to a high school and all these kids have been studying psychology. So they hear, they heard about bipolar, they heard about schizophrenia, but to hear someone's life and how it really affected them was pretty powerful. But it depends so much on the school too, because, you know, as we know, stigma is everywhere. Yes. And sometimes the stigma can be right there with the teachers or the whole school. And, you know, we had some experiences where was once when we went to an after-school program, and the director there kind of, she pulled us into the staff room to kind of check us out to see that we were not some kind of crazy, you know, axe murderers or something.
Yes,
like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of stigma busting to do, and the Ed Outreach is really one way to do it, because obviously what we do is to talk about music and how, and we play music, and we have gotten some really great feedback that people saying, wow, I don't know how to play an instrument. Wow, I'm scared of playing in front of people. And here are someone who's also dealing with schizophrenia who's willing to do that.
Now, when you said that, I don't know how to play an instrument, are there opportunities for tuneful musicians to take maybe a child aside and teach them some chords on the guitar or the piano or voice lessons right there? Or
yeah, I mean, usually that doesn't happen, because, you know, schools, and one thing that also we notice is harder and harder for us to get into schools, because they have, you know, so much, such an agenda, so much to squeeze in there.
Yes.
So it can sometimes, if we have a contact person, it's easy to get in, but if we don't, it's hard to start with the principal and all that. So usually, you know, it's really that we come in and we talk for 40 minutes or an hour or something like that. But we encourage people to write about it in their class, or if they have questions, and kind of have a communication. So sometimes there's an ongoing communication going on. And it's neat to see that the feedback that we're getting sometimes is that they're saying, like, wow, I have an uncle back in Mexico who has schizophrenia, who's always been this kind of weird guy in our family, and now I hear these people coming in and talking about mental health or mental illness in a whole different way. So, you know, to me, that is so rewarding to see that we can really have an impact on people's lives that way.
It has to be, Jens. It has to be. I just really, I feel privileged to talking with you.
Thank you.
Your scope of experience in the mental health field. Though you said that you began as you were in, I believe, like in social work, and you got an opportunity to work in a community house.
Yes.
Now, so I was wondering, prior to that, mm-hmm. what was your association? What was your, do you have any people in your family or friends, church, that were disabled, that you were kind of reaching out to, that influenced you some way?
Yeah, I mean, no one who was so close to me. But I definitely, you know, I would say my mother was in the field. She worked as a psychologist. But when I was a kid, of course, you don't want to be what your parents are. So I never thought of that.
Yeah.
I think it was more, like I said before, when I kind of thought about what is the field that I might be interested in doing. It just seems like it was kind of more related to my own personal growth, that I've been kind of, you know, seeking, being in therapy myself and really seeing the benefit of kind of, you know, exploring one's own psyche in a way. But I have very limited, you know, experience or people that dealt with mental health issues on a more serious level before I got into this. And again, I felt so lucky to have found the Cambridge Sunbelt Social Club. That was a great community, because to me, healing and dealing with mental health issues One aspect that I feel like is kind of missing a lot these days is the fact that a healing community can make wonders, which is true whether you have a mental health issue or not.
Yes, I totally agree with that, Jens. I think there's a lot of people that, one too many people, that are more... That more quickly go to see a doctor for a broken arm than they would mm-hmm. even consider talking to someone like yourself mm-hmm. About some struggles because of the of the stigma of people. I haven't heard this word many times in the recent future, but the talking to the shrink, and mm-hmm. it's so sad. Mm-hmm. Yet when we realize that we're people of not just one dimension, but yeah. we have a spiritual dimension and a mental and emotional and physical dimension, that it all needs to really work together. And
yes.
when that happens, then there's a wholeness. There's mm-hmm. there's wholeness of health. And anyway, I'm going to keep on trying, and as you are, and as Tune Foolery does, just to get the message out. And I'm just so mm-hmm. and you know what I really love about Tune Foolery is they just keep on doing what they love, what is their mm-hmm. passion. And it seems to me, granted, you see the folks day in and day out, that no matter what comes their way, they it really seems that they too have embraced the Tune Foolery mission, because I mm-hmm. see them mm-hmm. as the Tune Foolery mission, not just yeah. embracing mm-hmm. what they are, and that's great.
Yeah.
Are there any like closing comments or questions that you want to say? Maybe you can.
I feel incredibly grateful for have been working so many years with Tune Foolery, and I feel so much love and connection to this community. And I think it's so interesting how, since we don't really like in a lot of people in the recovery movement don't really define how sick are you or who is sick and who's not sick and all that. And I think that is something that I really appreciate, that everybody, whether we have a diagnosis or not, have life struggles.
Right. Frame it that way instead of the medical terminology.
Exactly. And, that can be useful sometimes too, but not get stuck on that, because that's not really what matters. And I feel very grateful to be part of a recovery movement that really tried to change the whole perception of what mental health and mental illness is. And doing it through creativity and music is a way that really works for our community, but there are a million other ways to do it. And I feel like we have a lot of good relationships with other organizations who find other ways to do it. So it's just, it's all good.
That is great that you're continuing the mission,
yes.
the mission, because people are people first, and I'm
exactly.
just grateful. I'd like you to give my best to the Tune Foolery musicians that have come up to Arborview. Again, I'm thinking of Dan, Ramblin' Dan, and Lenny.
Yeah.
They're both class acts. So I really appreciate this time, and I'm gonna get this up on my blog with, let's say, within a couple of weeks.
Sure.
I got some other posts up there, and I will communicate with you if I get any, what type of feedback I get.
Yeah.
And if I can help any other way, I'd love to help. I really would.
Thank you.
I'm passionate too about working with people with disabilities.
That's great. I think you're doing a great job with your blog. I've been reading it, and I think it's, it's so nice. It's a very positive message. So it's it just feels, we're all part of this movement, and it's good to feel like we're all doing it together. So So please shoot me an email when you know this is up, and I can, you know, that's another reason for me to spread it to more people that might be interested in tomfoolery, and that way they can discover your blog. So, you know, we're all supporting each other.
That's right. So let me just say your website again. It's www.tunefoolery.org. That's TUNEFOOLEY.org. And if anyone wants to get more information, is curious, just go there and contact Jens. I think all the email goes to you. Mostly.
Yeah, I mean, we have a few email boxes, but one of us are checking them every day.
There you go, and you'll respond back
absolutely.
Okay, I'm gonna turn this recorder off, not Skype, and just thank you everyone for listening. And if you have any questions, you want to contact me, go to my contact page, fire me an email. Again, you've been listening to this at www.dismantlingdisabilities.com. Thank you.